I take my text from the commemoration collect of the Sunday within the octave. We prayed, make us, O Lord, to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name, for thou never failest to govern those whom thou dost solidly establish in thy love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. At the name of Jesus, St. Paul writes to the Philippians, every knee shall bend. We call that a genuflection, which is literally the bending of a knee. But not, please note, taking the knee. That's for the communists who use it these days to take over our country. It's a sign of submission for them, not to God, not even to man, but to Satan. What's in a genuflection? Plenty. The awesome fear of God starts us out. That's another of the gifts of the Holy Ghost given in abundance to these children, to all of our soldiers of Christ. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Scripture reminds us. Man must himself willingly go down to his knees, if he can. They do wear out with use, you know. Down to half our height before the Lord God in adoration. The same God who so humbles himself, lowering himself to the appearance of a bit of bread, the wafer of the host, and the wine in the chalice. No wonder we go down on our knees, both knees, and bow the head as well, when the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, as today we call that, a double genuflection. I looked it up. The Novus Ordo abolished this officially in 1973. A new member of our church, wishing to learn as much as she could about our ways, saw this recently and asked me about it. It really is a most impressive thing to see if it is done properly. It says everything about our faith. As we hit the floor and bow the head, this humble gesture speaks to God for us before we even say a word. Thou art the great God, and I, O my Lord, I am nothing. Now, the Bible is full of kneeling. 59 times is the Greek word used in the New Testament alone, either as an expression of adoration or of humility and contrition. The blind man in John's Gospel, when he's healed and gets his sight, kneels and adores. And Jesus prays on his knees in Gethsemane's garden. And every day, the church's prayer, recited by the priests and the religious, opens during the night matins with the same 94th psalm. Come, let us adore, let us kneel down before the Lord. And St. Thomas the Apostle kneels down to say, my Lord and my God, when he sees the wounds and feels them after Easter. But also it is an instinctive gesture of humility. After the multiplication of the fishes, St. Peter just falls to his knees, says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. They say the double genuflection was the original one, and eventually it was shortened or simplified to the genuflection such as we know from daily use visits and entering the pew, passing the middle of the church, the tabernacle, with the divine presence. We teach our little ones to make it, and then we do so our whole life long, until perhaps we can't, but still we wish we could bend the knee to our Lord and to our King. Despite its many mentions in the Bible, Protestants aren't much for kneeling, and they never genuflect. Their pews historically are padded, and they have no kneelers in their churches. The Novus Ordo reduced genuflections at their Mass service to 3 and abolished the double genuflection. And often on, at pretty much as a general rule, most churches today don't have kneeling or kneelers, not at all. And from time to time you hear about some poor person who, wanting to inject a little reverence into that service, tries to kneel down for communion. Recently I saw some poor woman who got into trouble with the bishop for trying to kneel at Fatima for communion. Standard religion, acceptable, respectable, the world's way, Novus Ordo or Protestant, has more or less abolished kneeling. Most people have never knelt, not to God, in their entire lives. Think of it. The devil is very pleased at that. He is said, you know, to have no knees. Once he appeared to an Egyptian monk, the Abba Apollo, all dark, incredibly ugly, with spindly limbs. And the old monk saw on his legs no sign of knees. He cannot kneel, and he cannot bear to see us kneel to our God. But he craves power and honor for himself. And so, the new modern religions of the world having abandoned kneeling, what does he do? He's not above going through the garbage, and he finds genuflection and kneeling, and he dusts it off and uses it. What do you think the very symbol, almost a sacrament, of this new anti-religion of revolution is, with the Antifa and the BLM and all of the rest, save communism recycled? And you scratch that skin, and you will find lurking beneath it the worship of the devil. Satan has adopted kneeling. Taking a knee is the sign of solidarity with the Marxist revolution gripping our land, the groups so well represented in this movement. The devil is an equal opportunity employer. He covers all sides. So whether it be to persuade some poor policeman what on earth was going through his mind, to desecrate this gesture of kneeling in order to use it to take a human life, because kneeling is meant to restore life, not drain it away, or the Marxists in the streets who employ it, not that they would be working otherwise, who employ it as a popular tool of submission. It's due sign to take the knee business. That started, remember, a few years ago at football games during the national anthem, which presents enough problems as it is. But now it makes godless government officials in the Capitol kneel down, probably for the first time in their lives. Kneeling is now the devil's symbol, and how happy he must be these days in our land. To take the knee stands for destruction and rioting and burning and stealing and killing. Everything which is anti-God, and all of it government approved, at every step of the way, by the passing of laws in the different states, I mean, to hamper even the arrest of criminals. And at the same time, the government, governors mostly by fiat, criminalizing and quarantining the innocent, lo, these long months, if not worse, making nursing homes into concentration camps. And now, everyone must kneel not to God, but to government, the very ones doing the destruction, the social distancing, and the deaths caused by all of these myths now bring mayhem to our streets and neighborhoods. And the very worst elements of society out to attack. Racism of a reverse kind. But there was, happily, did you see that? One police officer in Georgia who went to one of those demonstrations and said it best, "There is only one that I kneel to." Someone in the crowd cried out, "God." And he said, "Yes, and thank you for saying that." So we kneel today not according to the new rituals of the revolution, which pervert a sacred gesture, but to the Most High God. We are happy to protest. The word means, from its root, to give witness, to protest on our knees, but only to God, especially today, Corpus Christi Sunday, and all 8 days of the feast. But today is First Communion Day, and the little ones are sitting here patiently, waiting to be fed with the bread of angels. In their innocence. Did you know that Sister Lucy, the seer of Fatima, along with the rest of the country of Portugal, lived through a communist revolution? She was wanting to receive our Lord, but she almost didn't get to make her first communion. Unlike Francisco, who failed the test, and he only made his communion on his deathbed. She passed her test. Remember, the Portuguese call that knowing your doctrine. But the pastor still said, no, she may not make her communion. She's too young. The assistant pastor, Father Cruz, came across her one day kneeling in the dark church, weeping as only a child can. "What's the matter, my child? I can't make my communion." And so he took her to the pastor, Father Pena, who is back in the sacristy, and he said, very respectfully, "Father, this child knows her doctrine better than most who are receiving this year. But she's only 6 years old," thundered the pastor. Still, tactfully, persistently, the young priest pressed his point, that's how you have to do it, and noted that the church requires a child for First Communion to have reached the use of reason and not the age of reason, which is 7. Parents, please keep that in mind. The love that little Lucy showed and these little ones I know are showing today, this love of Mass and of Holy Communion, is now pretty much gone. How satanic. Can you believe that it has happened, this revolution? But we Catholics, never mind. We must be the light and we must be the salt. We must have a love to match our Lord's love, and that's the Holy Ghost's gift of piety, which starts as fear of the Lord with great reverence and respect, but soon blossoms into love. The little ones we taught now, today, teach us. But continue to teach them, please, adults. I mean, by the way you enter church, by the way you pass the altar with a proper and a devout genuflection, never in a hurry, never in a rush. God is here. Put your heart into it as well as your knees. This act of humility is just an act of truth. which does you and the waiting, wanting world immense good. You get to protest as only a Catholic could, here, down on your knees. We start with fear, but then as we look up at Jesus, we end with love. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.